This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. We hear songs all the time, but for many of us, it's a mystery how a song takes shape. So we bring you another project song, NPR's look at that creative process. It works like this. We invite a musician into our studios for a few days. We give them some inspiration, photographs, and words, and then we document their process of creating a song. Today, we feature Nelly Mackay. She's just 25, but she's already released several critically acclaimed albums. Bob Boylan, the host of NPR's music show, All Songs Considered, takes us on this songwriting adventure.
When I invited Nelly Mackay to Project Song, I figured she'd write some witty words and hammer something out on the piano. I don't mean to make it sound so simple, but listen to the music of Nelly Mackay, and she's the one that makes it seem so easy.
Feminists don't have a sense of humor. Feminists just want to be alone. Feminists spread vicious lies and rumor. They have a tumor on their funny bone. They say
Nelly Mackay writes music with influences from pop and rap and even from days long past. She came into our studio looking as if she walked off the silver screen with an elegant white suit and her curly blonde hair.
Wow.
I had laid some photographs and some words on our makeshift bar.
Jesus, I have pictures. One of these? Oh, these are some good pictures.
And it didn't take long for Nelly Mackay to settle on a black and white photograph of some men dancing the Charleston out in front of a movie theater. The words billiards, dancing, bowling appears on the marquee. She chose the word bravado, and those two things, the word bravado and the photograph of the men dancing, would inspire and inform her song.
Why couldn't I have written a song in secret and brought it in here and pretended to be confused?
And then, despite a bit of hemming and hawing, Nelly Mackay proceeded to sit at the grand piano and began drawing musical staff lines on some notepaper and began composing her song. Here's what I know now that I didn't know at the time. In just a few hours of playing at the piano, Nelly Mackay wrote her song. I know that now because I can look at the zoom lens on our video camera and see all the scribbles in her notebook. The words are mostly there, as well as the music. You can see all this online at npr.org. From my perspective in the control room of our studio, this is what I heard for the better part of the first day. Some tinkering, some scribbling, and then some more tinkering. She'd pick up the ukulele and play more piano. It wasn't as if I was hearing the song emerge. The next day, Nelly Mackay drove the 30 miles to our Washington studios from Annapolis. I asked her how the song was shaping up and what she was thinking on our drive to NPR.
And mostly the words give up. What it is basically it's an exercise. It is a pastiche. It's not even a song, really. It uses elements of music, and it uses the word bravado, and it references the picture. And it may not be anything people want to listen to, but at least it, you know, I think it'll be pleasant.
It's hard to tell how much of Nelly's self-deprecating talk was for humor or for real.
This song just isn't worth all this trouble.
But she did spend a lot of time constructing a fairly complicated three-part tune, including the sound of thunderstorms, loons, and other animals.
Okay, so that's good.
If you describe the dog, breed?
A terrier.
A terrier?
Scottish terrier.
Scottish terrier.
And just...
Yeah.
I did have one secret weapon that seemed to toss away Nelly's self-deprecation. She had a love of Indian food, and I had the phone number to a restaurant that delivered.
As the song gets better, I get closer to the phone to ordering the food.
Okay, Bob, you're speaking my language. I love music.
And with that, there was more progress, and the song began to unfold. What was so odd is how Nelly Mackay chose to build her song. Pretty much, she did it upside down. So instead of the percussion as the foundation and then the piano, she would record small ukulele parts and other less consequential elements. Turns out she did it this way to break the boredom of putting a song together the same old way. It sure did keep us in the dark as to what the song was going to sound like in the end. And it wasn't until the final hours, on the final day, that Nellie Mackay sang the words to her song.
It started at a party in the summer tree room, with billiards, dancing, bowling, and a comedy troupe. The Wunderbar is lovely in the spring, but the Cavendish is where I find my wings.
And this is it, a song about a London hotel called The Cavendish, a song about some of its guests, D.H. Lawrence and the Beatles, and of better, simpler times. It's a wonderful theatrical journey from Nellie Mackay, a songwriter that seemed connected with the past, unsure of her presence, and knocked me out with this creation. For Project Song, I'm Bob Boylan.
Tiptoe through the kitchen and the parlor, whisper as you pet the Scotty tom, leap on up the stairway, turn out feet and bearing strong. The Cavendish stood small in all its glory, survived both D.H. Lawrence and the war, through Eliot and Rations, Beatles and Libations. The Cavendish was at the fore. Bravado, that frightful night in Corcovado, and life grew ripe like avocado in Obligado, to the seismic changes swirling. Allegro, our feet had fled to Montenegro, we nibbled nervously on bread rolls until the day rose and we were blind. And then she died.
Then she did die, and there were faraway lights along the foggy moor, soft crescent moon and the old pear tree, and music, beautiful music,
loud enough to wake the dead.
Whistle as you move about the garden, watch the friendly birdies boss the bees, strum
Watch a video of Nellie Mackay's songwriting process at npr.org/music. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.